Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.hu.
Today we celebrate. We celebrate what God has done over the last 18 months. Some of you were with us from the early stage of our story, from the early stage of our church. We actually launched just about 18 months ago. September 18 months ago was our launch, the launch of Equipers Budapest. And I'm just so passionate about what God has done in the last 18 years. I'm super excited about what God has done. Let me just give you a few things, what I have seen. We started the number we started with was two people. And that's my courageous wife and myself. I had an encounter with the Lord in Rome, Italy. We had a pastor's gathering, a pastor's meeting with some other Equipers pastors in Rome, Italy. I think it was 2018. And I could not sleep that night. God just kept me awake. Normally, I'm an excellent sleeper. That's one of my spiritual gifts. I sleep really well. But that night, it was impossible. And God was stirring my heart for Budapest. Actually, some of you may know, but in that season, there was a movement of young people in this city that was actually led by the son of the prime minister. He had an encounter with God. God changed his life, and it just became a movement among the young people in the city. And I was reading that story in the newspaper that night, and I started to weep. I started to cry for the young generation in this city. I had no ambition to come to Budapest. I was busy enough in our ministry in Slovakia. But that night, everything changed. And so I told the guys in the morning, I think God is calling me to Budapest. And I was waiting for some like, yeah, come on, wait. You know, take more time to consider. But they all said, let's go. Let's do it. And they commissioned me that morning to plant a church in Budapest. And so we did. A few months later, we started to come into the city of Budapest and just praying. We started a small group in a basement on Jasai Mari Tér. Some of you were there. And then over the course of that year, for about 10 months, we did nothing but meet in the basement. Sometimes it was five people, sometimes it was seven. We would even bring Bible college students so we would have warm bodies in the room. And then we felt like, yeah, come on, we cannot go public. A year later, we had a group of maybe 15 people or something like that. And so we rented a cafe in a different part of the downtown, Calvin Tér, and we thought, yeah, come on, this is the time to just go out and start. And we did that. And 3 weeks later, the pandemic hit. And we had to close everything and cancel all of our plans. And it was an awkward feeling. We felt like we just stepped out in faith. We just started to do something that we felt God called us to, and we had to close down the shop. And so for the next couple of months, it was actually even impossible for us to enter the country. The whole country was in a lockdown. And so we just started to stream from the phone, from our living room. But then as soon as it was possible to enter the country, we started to hold meetings in our living room. And some of you were in those days with us as well. Started to meet together as a small group and then started to go out into the streets and into the parks of the city to tell the young people about Jesus. And it's been amazing. And I think since that day on the streets, our team has shared the gospel with, I probably would not be exaggerating if I said, with thousands of people face to face. And actually, I want to honor you guys for doing that, for going out, for reaching the people that would normally not come to the church. And we actually have quite a few people in the church because of that, stepping out because of going to the people in the parks and on the streets from many different nations. I remember on one occasion, I was talking to a group of young people in the park, and then I started connecting with one of those guys. He was in a group of young students, and then I invited him for coffee. I connected with Toby, and next Sunday, he came to our living room. We were meeting together. The week after, he brought his friend. And the following week, I think the friend brought her brother. The following week, the brother and the sister, they brought their parents. And the grandmother came. And then they brought their friends, another family. You're getting the idea. They were Venezuelans. And this special girl is now leading the Latino small group. I love that. It all started because we were reaching out to the people out on the streets and in the park. God is amazing. And then we started the Sundays here, and it was actually quite slow and painful. I think we had about 30 people in the room on our first Sunday. And then we started you got to start from scratch and keep on scratching. And never stop being persistent. And that's the story of our church. And I actually want to give God the glory for what He has done over the last 18 months since we launched. There has never been a Sunday without new people in the house. Every Sunday we had new people who came because somebody invited them to come to church. And I think we've had over 500 registered first-time visitors since the launch. Sunday by Sunday, new people coming. Now, I don't know what is your church experience, but that is not normal. And I want to give glory to God for that. And I want to also give credit to you guys, the church, because we are the team together. And so what I want to say is that simply to that one, what I want to say is that God has more. And we're going to talk about it today a lot. He has so much more for us. I'm going to be a little personal in the beginning. You know, the last 18 months were probably the most painful months for Marta and myself. We've been going through a rather difficult patch. A rough patch. The last 18 months was hard. It was not just planting a new church. It was also different leadership challenges that we've been going through. In that time, I picked up a book that was given to us, recommended to us by Sam Chan. And the name of the book, the title of the book is Leadership Pain. Friends, if you're in leadership, whatever you do, don't read that book. Leadership Pain. And in the last 18 months, I've been living the book out. With every new challenge, there is an added pressure. There is more pain. So whatever you do, don't pick up that book. Don't read it. Leadership Pain. But then, of course, in the last couple of months, we've been going through a situation in our family of immense pain and loss. And just 2 weeks ago, we buried my brother-in-law, Martha's oldest brother. It was actually incredibly painful, incredibly difficult. We went through a lot of stress and sorrow and really low moments on our journey. You know, I would prefer a different kind of a season. I'm expecting a different kind of a season. You know, I hate pain. Not sure if there's any people in the house that love pain. I hate pain. And I especially hate hurting myself. I did that this week. Our stove stopped working, so I did the smart thing. I turned the fuse off. I lifted up the stove and I wanted to fix the contacts. It was the wrong fuse. And I got hit by electricity, 220 volts of power. And I let go of the stove and went to pieces. It was smashed to pieces. And man, I had the revelation there. It doesn't matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert. When you get kicked by the power of God, man, you feel it. You shake, you tremble, you shout. I'm an introvert, but I responded as an extrovert. I hate hurting myself, yeah? I hate pain. But, you know, they say if you want to make everybody happy, don't be a leader. Sell ice cream. So I don't do that. And, you know, in the middle of that, I felt God speak to me. And his word was, I'm stretching you for more. I'm stretching you for more. Come on, Miro. Don't give up. Don't stop. I'm stretching you. I'm expanding you for more. What I'm doing behind the scenes through this season is I'm enlarging your capacity. I'm making you bigger. I'm making you bigger so you can actually take more. You know, I have this thing in my office, in my study, that says, don't obtain what you can sustain. You know, I'm often, this is an admission, a public admission, a confession. I often obtain things that I'm not able to sustain. I tend to start things. I'm really good at starting things. But how many feel it's not enough just to start things? We have to sustain what God has given us. And in order to be able to sustain what God has given us, we have to grow. We have to enlarge. We have to expand. And we have to stretch. So tell your neighbor, you gotta stretch, bro. Sister. You gotta stretch. Don't get used to the new, because God has more. Don't get too comfortable, God has more. So the title of my message today is simply one word, stretch. Can you say this with me? Stretch. You have no idea what you're talking about. Stretch. I'm gonna read a story which is a prophetic story in the Old Testament from Jeremiah chapter 18. And I want to invite you to open this up and to read this with me. And see, I know many of your stories. I know many of your lives. For most of you, I'm your pastor. So I don't have to even be prophetic this morning. I simply know that God has his hand on your life. We've talked. We've prayed together. I've seen God move in your life. And it's a plain fact. He's got his hand on your life. But see, the problem is that when God touches your life, when his hand touches you, very often it's not romantic. When God touches your life, it often is not romantic. It's not the goosebump moment. Remember Jacob in the Old Testament when God touched his hip? He got into big trouble and it marked him for the rest of his life. He went through pain, but God actually started a totally new season in his life. So, how many of you are ready for more? Stretch. Let's read this story. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. And then the word of the Lord came to me, and this is what he said. Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. How many know this story? God sending his prophet to the house of a potter, and teaching him one of the greatest lessons for personal discipleship, for leadership, for ecclesiology, for church planting. I mean, anything that God does starts here. So let me take you through a couple of phases. Now, I had to do a bit of digging, a bit of study, because we normally don't do pottery in today's culture. But back then, it was the normal thing. It was pottery, or a potter's house was a normal thing in every neighborhood. So let me take you through a couple of phases. And I want you to imagine, as I go through this, that you are the material. Because that's what God says here. I am the potter, you are the clay. So as I go through these following phases, I want to ask you to imagine you are the material that God is working on. Here we go. The first phase is what I call clay preparation. Clay preparation. Now, let me tell you that a lot had to be done before the clay actually got into the potter's workshop. You didn't go to the store and buy the clay. You had to go out into the field and get it. A lot had to happen before the clay, the material, actually touched the hands of the potter. Now, the first task was finding the right material. By the way, that's what God does when He looks. He's looking for the right material. He's looking for the right people, the right hearts, the right character, the right material for His hands. Anybody in the house? He would have to extract the clay from the ground. Usually, the right clay was about 1 meter under the surface. So he had to do some digging. He had to go deeper to get the right material. It couldn't be sandy. It had to be smooth. He had to find the right material. See, oftentimes, the right material is in the dirt. Very often, the right material, the material that God works with, is found in the dirt. And oftentimes, the best material was deep down in a pit. Remember the old scripture in the book of Psalms that says, He brought me up from a horrible pit out of a miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock and He established my steps. He took me from a miry clay. The potter often had to go down into a pit just to find the right material. And He took it from the miry pit. See, God cares about you so much. He is willing to go the distance. He is willing to go down into the pit just to find the right material. Some of you should be celebrating this. Now, I want to say that if you feel like you've been overlooked and trampled upon, it's a good chance His process started. Because when they trample upon you, when you feel like you're under somebody's feet, it just may be that you are the right material. Because the right material for the clay is found under the earth, in the dirt. And then what happens? Here's another part of the process. What happens is there comes a treading process. A treading. So what the potter does, he takes the clay, he puts it on the ground, and he treads upon it. He literally, with bare feet, he would tread upon it. So up to now, the stomping, the treading was accidental. Now it's by purpose. Now the clay is actually under the feet of the potter. And the reason for that is so that it will get cleansed. The pockets of air would get out. Any objects that would be in the clay would be out. And the material would become consistent. See, now the trampling becomes the treading. And from being stepped on by accident, now the clay is being treaded on by purpose. And he spends time walking on it, stomping on it, even jumping on that piece of clay. And there is more intensity. How many of you felt, how many of you ever felt in life like, man, my trouble, my pressure, my stress, it just becomes greater. It just becomes bigger over time. That's exactly how this right material is being developed. First, it's hidden in the dirt and people tread on it. Then it's taken out and the potter jumps on it even harder. There is a scripture in Isaiah 41. It's actually in relation to Cyrus the king. But there is a part of that sentence that says, he treads on rulers as if they were mortar, as if he were a potter treading the clay. It was the normal picture from a potter's shop. He would be treading, stomping, jumping on the clay. And then what follows is beautiful. At the same time, he is washing the clay with water. So it's making smooth and clean. Now, friend, I want to encourage you, if you want to be the right material for God, don't be discouraged by the process. He's going to redeem the process for his purpose. Yeah. And before he actually even puts his hands on you, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute, if you go through, you know, trouble and shaking and you feel like people have been jumping on you, I want to say God has a bigger plan. And he's going to use that season for something in his purpose, in his plan. Hallelujah. Can somebody say glory to God? Amen. So that's the first part of the process, clay preparation. Here's the second one. I've simply called it time on the wheel. Time on the wheel. Now, in the Hebrew language, the word for a potter is simply a shaper. It's a word, one of the most foundational Hebrew words that is in the first verses of the Bible, where it says that God formed a man. He shaped a man from the dust of the earth. So from the first chapter in the Bible, God is in the business of shaping. Welcome to the club. This is what it says in Isaiah 46, verse 8. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Can we say this together? We are the clay. Come on, church. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. And so what a potter does now, he brought the clay, he brought the right material into his workshop. He went through all of the pain. And now what happens here, he starts to knead the clay with his hands. Just like a baker would do with dough. He starts to knead the clay with his hands. Now, this is quite aggressive. He beats it. He slaps it, and then he folds it, and then he does it again. And he does it until it's got the right quality, the right, whatever. He beats it, he slaps it, he folds it, and then he's like, yeah, and he does it again. There's a lot of beating and slapping. How many have been through that process? All of that to produce a workable clay. But here's a comforting thought. By now, the clay is in the potter's hands. There's intimacy. There's intimacy. You're like, yeah, you feel the touch of God. It's not too romantic. He's slapping, he's beating, and he's folding. And oh my. And then here's another one, my favorite. He puts it on the potter's wheel. And there is a lot of spinning. Bad news. There's a lot of spinning. The way a potter's wheel worked, there were two wheels connected with an axle. The lower one was moved by the feet, and on the upper wheel, he would put the clay, and it started to spin. Anybody can relate to that? You feel like your world is spinning all the time. You've been slapped, you've been trampled upon, and now you're spinning. I was waiting for someone. You feel like you lost control. You feel like there's nothing you can do. You feel like it's too fast. You feel like you totally lost control over that. Now, see, the potter shapes the clay by applying pressure. Imagine that piece of clay spinning on the plate, on the wheel. And then what he does, he touches the clay as it is spinning. And he applies pressure to specific spots. And as he does it, there is a shape, there is a form being established. All of a sudden, it's not just this piece of clay. It's now a shape. It's now developing a form. It's not just some kind of a lump. Now it's actually a vessel. And then what he does, he forces his fingers right in the center. I imagine you are the clay. You've been trampled upon. You've been jumped on. You've been slapped. You've been spinning for a while. He applied pressure on you. And then what he does, he puts his fingers right in the middle of you. Right in the middle of the clay. Right in the center. And as the wheel is spinning, the hole is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. Friends, this is the revelation for today. To contain more, more room must be made. See, today we are talking about more, and we are praying. We're praying that often, God, I want more of you. I want more of your spirit. I want more of your anointing. I want more of your power in my life. But in order to contain that, in order to sustain that, you need to make room. There needs to be a bigger capacity. So what he does, he keeps you spinning. And he applies pressure. And he makes that hole bigger. He makes that place bigger. For bigger capacity, more pressure is applied. I told you in the beginning, don't read that book. Don't read the book. You ready for even worse? Because the story doesn't end here. This is what it says right after this. It says, but then the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. After that journey, when he found the clay, he trampled on it. He slapped it around. He kept it spinning. And then he applied pressure. Then he made a hole in it. It broke. It was marked, damage, not perfect. Now, artists are picky. Anybody can relate? He's got this picture. This is what I want it to look like. This is what I want it to look like. It's not going to just be functional. It's going to be a piece of art. It's not just going to be a cup. It's not just going to be a pot. It's going, hey, he's a master potter. He's an artist. It's not just going to be functional piece. Some kind of a thing you drink. It's going to be a vessel of honor. It's going to be a piece of art. We'll get to that a bit later. So he's like, well, this is not perfect. I'm going to do it again. Now, personally, this is the part I hate the most. Because, you know, I've spent a lot of time in His presence. I've spent so much time going through the pain. I've spent so much time on this painful journey. I've gone through the process. I'm finally in His hands. And finally, the shape is coming together. And He's like, do you still want more? Do you want to carry my glory? Do you want to carry my presence? Do you want to be a piece of art? Do you want to be something beautiful that I made from nothing? Let's do it again. Let's go to another level. And some of you need to hear this today because you can relate. You've been going through a hard patch yourself. You've been going through a period of discouragement. And the bad thing was, it was not because God was not with you. It was because He was with you. It's because He has a better plan. It's because He wants to use the story of your past to make you someone that will bring glory to His name in the future. So what He does, He crushed it into a lump. He reworked, He reformed, He reshaped. That's reformation. I believe in reformation. This is the work of reformation. He takes it and He creates it into another form. He reforms the whole thing. So the first part was preparation of the clay. The second part was time on the wheel. Are you ready for number three?
Yes.
Who is ready for number three? It doesn't get any better, I promise. Number three is, say this with me, in the furnace. I thought it was bad enough. So what happens? Finally, that is the desired shape and form. And now a drying process begins. Friends, it took days for the pot of clay to dry. Depending on humidity, sunshine, temperature, it dried for days. I mean, if you're now in the drying process, there's at least one person there in the drying process, I promise. And when the pots were dry enough, they started to be stacked and put in a kiln or a furnace, and they would be in the fire baking for hours. So first trampled, then treaded on, then slapped, then spinning, then pressed, then crushed, and then all over again, and then put into the fire. I'm sorry, I'm bringing the bad news. Bring it, brought into the fire. Now the fire begins. Now, let me encourage you a little bit, guys. Because the pot went into the fire, it made the pot and the clay indestructible. The archaeologists in the 21st century today, they still study the pottery from Jeremiah's days. Do you know why? Because of the furnace. Because of the fire experience. If the pottery would not go into the fire, it would be destroyed. It would be buried in the ground. But because the pottery went through the fire, it will last for centuries. It will last for millennia. It basically becomes indestructible. Indestructible. It will not be destroyed by ages. And not just that, here is another piece. Because it had gone through the fire, it's going to be able to hold fire. Are you getting this? Before it went through fire, it's going to be able to hold fire. Because see, come on, see, a lot of those jars of clay would actually become lampstands. They would become lamps. They would hold a flame inside. And the reason they're able to hold flame inside is because they went through the fire. So friends, from the pit to the wheel and now into the fire. I hate to bring the bad news to you. If you want more of God, I can prophesy a bit of pressure here. You may be going through some of that yourself, even right now. You feel like you've been trampled upon. You feel like they've been jumping on you, or you feel like you've been slapped by the potter. You feel like he's made a hole inside of you. And then you feel like, man, this only intensifies. You feel like there is not just pressure applied, there is also heat applied. And you're sweating in the fire. Now let me encourage you. God has the end result in mind. When he does it, he has always the end result in mind. For him, you are not just a utensil. For him, you are a work of art. For him, you are his masterpiece. You're gonna be holding his fingerprints on your life forever. There's gonna be a mark of God, a mark of Jesus, a mark of the potter on you for the rest of your life. He's going to redeem the process. And I love this. He is not just going to use the pressure and the heat that he applied. He's also going to redeem the vicious attacks that the enemy had on your life. Because, you know, some of that stuff is God doing. But he's also redeeming the stuff that the enemy is doing in your life. Can you remember Joseph? You know, after all the hell he went through, he was forgotten by his brothers. The enemy was mistreating him. And he said, what you meant for evil, God actually redeemed it for good. Somebody should give glory to God, yeah? The same goes for David. And the same goes for Jesus. So here's a scripture to remember, 1 Peter 4. Verses 12 to 14. Dear friends, I most trouble when God calls me dear friends. Or when he says things like, you know, be not afraid. When God tells you these things, you have every reason to be afraid, let me tell you. Every reason to panic. God says, hey, dear friends, like he's gonna tell you something tough. Dear friends, do not be, or when he says, peace be unto you. I love you, Jesus. He says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you. The fiery ordeal, as though something strange were happening to you. But he says, but rejoice as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. He's like, hey, wait a second. Don't stop. Don't start crying. Don't give up. Rejoice, because something beautiful is going to come out of this. The glory of God. And then he says, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. It's like, rejoice. The glory of God is actually taking residence on you and inside of you. Because you went through the fire, you cannot hold the flame. You cannot hold the glory of God. Ready for another scripture? I love this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. But we have this treasure. What is the treasure? It's the presence of God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing. The treasure, we have it in what? Jars of, tell me. Of clay. Let me tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it going through that process. Yes, it hurts. Yes, there is pain. Yeah. Yes, you're going through a difficult journey. They may step on you. They may jump on you. You feel like you've been slapped on. You've been spinning for a long time. His hand has touched your sensitive spots. You've been broken and then restored and broken and restored. And then you've entered the furnace. And not just pressure was applied, but heat. But you've become a jar of clay holding the treasure. The Spirit of God, the anointing, the presence of the Holy Spirit. You are becoming His residence. You carry the presence of God. You can actually sustain what you have obtained. The other people may actually lose the presence of God, but you can actually sustain what you have obtained. You can carry the presence. You can go to places and you don't lose what God put inside of you. Why? Because you've been through the fire. And you can say, great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Come on. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And listen to this. Now, this is the scripture that I've been reading like a million times during the pandemic. Here we go. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now we need to wrap this together. we need to say this together, church. Ready? Make it your own declaration. Make it on your declaration. Verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Ready to do it again? We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Come on. I want to encourage you, if you've been going through a rough patch, you're not going to be destroyed. You're not going to be struck down. You're not going to stay there. Hey, He has a purpose. He has a plan. He has the end in mind. And the book of Proverbs actually says that the end of a thing is much better than its beginning. I got two more scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. One of my favorites. It says, for we are God's handiwork. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. You are God's handiwork. You are His piece of... The Greek word here is poema, which means His piece of art. When the potter starts working on you, it's not just a utensil. It's going to be a piece of art. He's a master craftsman. So I want you to trust the process. He has a design. When He sees you, He's like, oh, she's going to be a piece of art. There's something beautiful coming out of this process. There is a purpose. There is a design. You're going to bear the image of God. We were created to bear the image of God on us. And He is restoring that through that. And here's the last scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special occasions. Another translation says, vessels of honor, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. I love this. When you go through this, you will be useful to the master. Holy, which means set apart. You're going to be the display piece, holding the presence of God. God is going to go like, this is my display piece, my work of art. I love this. Prepare to do any good work. How many of you want more? Stretch. Make room. That is what God wants to do this weekend with us as the church, with us as individuals. I wonder if we could all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In just a second, we are actually going to do an altar call this morning. In just a second, I'm going to just simply invite you to respond to the potter. But here's my last thought. Through this, God is equipping you. It's in our name, right? Equippers. God is the ultimate equipper. He's been preparing you through this journey. He's been taking you on this journey because He's preparing you. He is making you into who He wants you to be. He is equipping you to be useful in His hands in a special way. And so we're going to spend the next couple of minutes simply praying for people right now. If you've been in this potter's workshop in this last season, if you feel like God, it's been a rough patch. Jesus, it's been a rough time. I know you were with me. I know you had your hands on my life, but it's been rough. It's been tough. We're going to pray for you. We're going to open this place, this altar, this place in the front for ministry right now. And in the next few minutes, we'll simply lay hands on you and pray and release the presence of God on your life. And God is going to, He's going to redeem that process in your life, and he's gonna do a refreshing. He's going to remind you of the call, and he's gonna give you the power to go through this in a supernatural way. You don't have to resent it. You can be empowered to do it. And so as we're gonna worship now, if you've been going through a rough season in this last couple of weeks or months, I simply want you, I want to encourage you, I want to call you just to step out of your seat and just come to this place in the front, and we're going to minister to you, we're going to lay hands on you in this time as we worship Jesus. And the presence of God is in the room. The potter himself is in the room. Come on. So for, let's just start by saying this to Jesus. Dear Jesus, come on, let's say this together as a declaration. Dear Jesus, I am the clay. You are the potter. I trust your process. I trust your process. I trust you. I trust your vision with my life. And I surrender to you today. Equip me for what you have. Prepare me for what you have. Make me useful for your purpose. And give me the power to go through this. Give me the power to be an overcomer. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just stay in this moment for a second right now.